Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what are three reasons why people may want to learn Yiddish? The Medem Library in Paris is the largest Yiddish language library in Europe. It was founded in 1929 by Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe, members of the Bund. Since the late 1970s, the library has also been a research library, and during the 1990s, the Medem Library absorbed most of the holdings of the four other Yiddish libraries in France. In 2002, the Medem Library merged with the Association for Yiddish Studies to form the Paris Yiddish Center Medem Library, and it's now the leading institution for the dissemination of Yiddish culture in Europe. Aside from the library, the center offers workshops for artistic endeavors, activities for children, cultural programs, and, of course, language classes at all levels. This year, for the first time, the Paris Yiddish Center organized a summer program in Berlin. We spoke with Tal Hever-Chibovsky, its coordinator, about this exciting initiative and what made it so special. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Tal. Tell us about the Yiddish program in Berlin, because this is the first time that it's been done, so it must be kind of exciting.
It is very exciting. It is very exciting and surprising that it goes so well, I have to say. The idea to have a Yiddish summer program here in Berlin has been going on our minds in Paris, in the Paris Yiddish Center, for quite a while. Already 2 or 3 years that the idea is being cooked, so to say, and I did not expect it to be so successful in terms of the kind of interest that people from all around the world showed, the kind of people who came to the program. You see this, you also participate in the program, if I may disclose. So you see the other participants, you see how many people are from different ages, different continents, different languages, both men and women, and 60 participants, which I hope that it would be 50 to 60 participants, but I would also be very happy if we had much less. For first program, this is very impressive.
Now, the program in Paris has been going on for a very long time and is a very good, prestigious program. What made you even think of doing it in Berlin or want to do it in Berlin?
So the program in Paris is very prestigious, and this is also part of the reason why I wanted to build upon this prestige, to bring our teachers, to bring our expertise in creating these kinds of programs to Berlin. But the move to Berlin has to do with two key aims. One has to do with Berlin itself, and the other has to do with Yiddish studies in general. So maybe I'll begin with Berlin. I think that it is scandalous how little there is going on in serious Yiddish studies in Berlin. There is a very vibrant cultural scene, there's a lot of musicians who work here, but when it comes to serious Yiddish studies of the language and of the literature, what Berlin has to offer is very limited. There are only a very few number of teachers, and I think that the interest is actually much high. I mean, the interest is not higher because people don't know about it. The potential is huge. The fact that you have these kind of summer programs all around Europe. You have summer programs in Paris, as you mentioned, in Strasbourg, in Brussels, in London. You had in Oxford. You have it in Warsaw, even something in Krakow. You have in Weimar, a very important festival. In Vilnius, a very important program. I'm sure that I forgot others. And Berlin, which is the capital of the largest or maybe most important country in the European Union, no program. This was a hole that had to be fixed. So first of all, from the point of view of Berlin, the potential here, as is demonstrated in the success of the program, is huge. I think that this is just the start of a certain cultural renewal that is going to take place here. And I certainly hope that these kind of programs can contribute to something that has to happen here. So this is from the Berlin perspective, and we can talk about it later also.
Was there any kind of hesitation on the part of people about having a program in Germany?
There were some people who did raise this question, and what you refer to, of course, the fact that Berlin is the capital of Germany and Germany is the perpetrator of the destruction of Jewish culture and life in Europe during the Second World War, what we call in Yiddish the Churban. And of course, people were asking, why Berlin? How is it possible to do it in Berlin? And the answer that I gave and the answer that other people gave was that precisely because of that, it should be in Berlin. Precisely to show that no one is able, they were able to murder, they were able to destroy, but they were not able to completely eradicate the possibility of renewal later. It is coming back to Berlin that reverses, or of course it does not reverse, it cannot amend, it cannot correct that which has happened here, but it can certainly show and demonstrate symbolically that Yiddish and Jewish culture in general does not agree to abandon this space. Berlin belongs to Yiddish. Berlin belongs to Yiddish, and Berlin belongs to Jewish culture in such a way that nobody could deny that. And to refrain from coming here and to say, okay, so they won, so they eradicated Yiddish and Jewish culture from this place, and now we are going to just strike out Berlin as one of the places in which Jewish culture can exist. I don't think that this is the approach. The approach should be precisely the opposite. And once it was spoken like that, and we have to understand, it's the third generation that says this to the first and second generation, the people with whom I work in Berlin. Many of them are survivors of the destruction of the Holocaust, and many of them are children of survivors. And these questions are, of course, questions that are burning for them. And this kind of answer is inspiring for them. And the kind of conversations that we had in Paris, where there was no conflict. I mean, the question was raised, and the answer was given, and there was consensus. Yeah, we should go to Berlin. Yeah, mir sein in do, as you say.
That's
in
exactly
Yiddish.
What I was thinking of, the partisan song.
Precisely.
Yeah. So tell us about the teachers. Who are they? Where are they from?
So we have here, we had five teachers in the program. Three of them come from Paris, from the Paris City Center. So we have Natalia Krinitska, who is the chief librarian of the Medem Library, one of the greatest experts on Yiddish literature, modern Yiddish literature, especially in the 20th century. We have Sharon Bar Kochva, who is the second librarian of the Medem Library, who a few years ago completed a PhD on the history of pseudonyms in Hebrew and in Yiddish, explaining this amazing phenomenon of almost every serious Yiddish writer or Hebrew writer in the end of the 19th century to the beginning of the 20th, adopting a pseudonym, why they did that, and etc. Sharon is a veteran teacher. She is the president of our pedagogical commission in Paris. So she's responsible for the kind of pedagogical work that we do in Paris, about 20 courses a year of all levels. And Annick Primorgules, which is even a more veteran teacher that has been doing summer programs for many, many years, a pillar of our center in Paris. All of these teachers, actually, all of the five, are veteran summer program teachers. From Brussels, we've brought Sonia Pinkusovic-Drafta, who is the head of the Yiddish studies in the Department for Jewish Studies at the Brussels University, the Free University of Brussels. Actually, at her university, she began the tradition, the continental tradition of summer programs for Yiddish in 1993. So there were before programs in Oxford, But the first program here on the continent is part of a project that was termed later Yiddish on the continent, in which Paris has participated, and now Berlin is becoming part. This is something that started in Brussels, as I said, in 93. Sonia is a wonderful teacher, and she stayed with us for the first 2 weeks, and she had to go back to Brussels to teach. And Annick, that I already mentioned, replaced her in the courses. And the fifth teacher is Karolina Szymaniak from Warsaw, who is also one of the most important researchers today of modern Yiddish literature and culture in Poland and in general, coming from the historical Jewish Institute in Warsaw, and a fabulous teacher, fabulous scholar. You shouldn't ask me, you should ask the students. They will tell you that these are very, very special teachers, all of them.
And who are the students? I mean, what are their ages? Where are they from?
So maybe I could use your question to go back to the second part of my answer to the question, why Berlin? You asked me in the beginning, Berlin, Paris, the Paris program is so prestigious, it works so well, so why do it also in Berlin? So maybe by comparison of the students, I can explain why I think that Berlin is so important. So in Paris, what we have is a very, very strong generation of students who are about 60 years old, most of them. Most of them had Yiddish at home, and they have been following the courses, especially of Yitzhak Niborski, but also of the other teachers of the Paris Yiddish Center, for years. And among them, you have translators, you have teachers, you have amazing Yiddish students. But they're not young, and this is not the next generation. And what we have in Paris is an overwhelming majority of the older generation, which I feel is extremely important for this kind of transition that we have to see in order for any kind of cultural continuity to take place. But for this continuity to take place, for this transition to take place, we also need the younger generation. And Paris has become very difficult in terms of prices of accommodation and the general prices of living in Paris. And students, we do give scholarships precisely to allow students, also younger students who do not have a proper income to participate in the program. But it is very clear that merely the idea of going to Paris for 3 weeks is something that for a lot of people, for example from Eastern Europe, but also in general, also from Germany, also from other parts in France, yeah, it's unthinkable. They don't think that Paris is a possibility for them. Berlin is precisely the opposite. Berlin, as a capital and as a huge cultural center, is also one of the most affordable cities in Western Europe. It has become more expensive in recent years, but it is still much more affordable, and it is also a university city. University's city. We have here at least 4 important universities and a very, very, very large audience of young students, not only Germans. A lot of the participants in that program here in Berlin are originally from other places in Europe, but they live in Berlin. They have come here to study, and for them, they know about Yiddish, and for them, the opportunity to study here, they already have an apartment here, they already live here, and to go for the summer for the program was something that was completely natural and possible for them. So what we have here in Berlin is a much more diverse body of students. As I mentioned in the beginning, I think that we have representatives of all ages, which is extremely important, to have them also in all classes, so the younger would see the older generation, for which Yiddish means something else, right? And also for people who are 50, 60, sometimes even older years old, when they see those young people who study Yiddish, it also motivates them, it also gives them a feeling of purpose, and they understand why they are taking part in this kind of program. So this kind of sharing the pleasure of learning Yiddish between generations, I find it extremely important, but it is diverse also in other terms. The program in Paris usually is dominated by much more women than men. In general, there's a higher interest in learning languages by women. I think, I mean, in general, women are smarter than men, so it makes sense. But in Yiddish studies, we see it all the time that there are much more women students. And here in Berlin, also in the program, I feel that there's a more balanced representation of both sexes. And also in terms of where people come from, you have here people local from Berlin. You have a lot of people from Eastern Europe, from Poland, from Ukraine, from Russia. You have, of course, a big group that came from France, people who know us, who know what kind of programs we produce, and they want to take part when it's in Berlin. And a very big representation of people from the United States, even from Spain, we have here students, and from Israel. It is a diverse program, both geographically, in terms of gender, in terms of age.
Do you have any idea what their motivation is? Because I imagine that a lot of the students are Jewish, a lot are not Jewish. A lot are working, a lot are students, a lot spoke Yiddish at home, or their grandparents spoke Yiddish. Have you done any kind of study about what people's motivation is?
Yeah. In general, I would say that there are several motivations for studying Yiddish that vary from a certain nostalgia by some to the, let's say, less productive exotization. You have it too, this kind of interest in the exotic. Yiddish is something oriental and exotic and funny, etc. And the most fruitful interest is the serious motivation. People who genuinely want to improve their Yiddish skills in reading, writing, speaking, and understanding. And I would say that I wouldn't even say the majority. All of the participants in the program here in Berlin fall into the third category. Why they want to improve their Yiddish? Why they are serious students? This I don't know. This is something that I don't ask, I don't know. But I can tell you that in comparison to other programs that I've participated in, and in comparison to the general impression that you have also as a Yiddish teacher in class, seeing what kind of people are sitting around the table, I can tell you that this program is also positively surprising in the sense that I have not seen here a single person who is here for the wrong reason. Let's say it like this. I mean, the wrong reason being, for example, you have people who think that Yiddish is a very funny language, or a language of the secrets of the Jews, or a language... Yeah, you have all sorts of weird interests. I mean, interests that don't help a student get to the next level, because they don't study in order to really know the language, but in order to fulfill some other interest. And this is completely absent in the program here. What we have here is people both university students as well as authors, amateurs, people from different stages in life, but all of them you see the kind of seriousness by seeing them after classes, how they sit with their notebooks and read and work and stay in the institute, or some of them until the late evening. Also, this is another reason why people go to summer programs. You have it. I saw it at least in some of the summer programs in which I participated, both as a student and as a teacher. People who just want to see the city, or want to have fun, which is great to have fun in city. But if this is the major interest, then again, why did you sign up for a Yiddish program? And here, all of the students, I'm sure that they're fascinated by Berlin and they enjoy seeing it, but they are here to learn Yiddish.
Something that I've noticed that I hadn't noticed in other programs that I've participated in is that after class, the students speak Yiddish with each other.
Yeah. This is extremely important. I suggested that in the beginning, as we suggest that in every program. This is precisely the point of a summer program, because you can always learn Yiddish either online or by yourself, or you can learn in certain places in the world. There are classes every week, but an intensive course gives you the environment in which you can truly immerse yourself within the language. And this kind of immersion should preferably continue also to the after-class activities and to the social activities that students organize for themselves. This is this kind of studious atmosphere of students staying together and speaking Yiddish and not switching to English or switching to a different language that is easier for them. It is precisely one of the criteria of defining a successful Yiddish program.
Tell us a little bit about how the classes are organized, the levels and the other activities.
So we have four levels here, the first being for complete beginners and the fourth being for quite expert students who already engage in Yiddish, mostly in Yiddish literature at the highest level. This is the spectrum that we usually have in these kind of summer programs, the ones that are organized by the Paris Yiddish Center. In Paris, we did have sometimes five levels, but the fourth, the fifth level in Paris are always more or less the same. We sometimes split them into two because there are too many, as I said, very, very strong students who come to the highest level. Here in Berlin, we kept four levels, and the distribution, at the beginning it was very balanced between the four levels, and as the courses progressed, there was some migration from the first level to the second, people who already know the Hebrew alphabet and know German, and for them it was a bit too easy, so they moved to the second. And we had also a certain migration from the second class to the third class for similar reasons. And now we have a situation where you have quite large second and third groups, and the first and the fourth are a bit smaller, which is actually a healthy thing for a summer program, because those who need more attention, those who need particular, the attention of the teacher should be divided less, are the beginners and the most advanced. These are usually the classes that need to have less students. As for the afternoon activities, so we have, first of all, two Yiddish-based workshops. So one is by Carsten Troike, that's a singing workshop, where they work on singing, but singing songs in Yiddish. And the second workshop that I give is the improv workshop, improvisational theater, where the main premise is that we just work on the mechanics of theater improvisation, and we just forget that we do it in Yiddish. So people improvise, and they just don't seem to notice that actually they have been speaking in Yiddish. This is actually working quite well. Besides these two cultural workshops, we have a conversational workshop and we have a cooking workshop in the weekends, where people can learn about Ashkenazi cooking, Ashkenazi cuisine. We have here lectures, a series of eight lectures on various topics. Some of them were in German, because we're here in Germany. One was in Yiddish, the rest were in English, and it were very well attended, the lectures. We projected two films, and from time to time, different kinds of various activities. For example, a gaming evening where people play Yiddish social games, and a concert that is going to take place today, etc.
And the Shabbos Tisch.
And the Shabbos Tisch, of course, which is a very important part of every Yiddish summer program. The Shabbos Tisch is a sort of a secular Friday night dinner, where we don't precisely follow the Jewish practice of the Shabbat, but more of a cultural variation of it, where there's always good food, and we drink, and mainly we sing. There's a lot of singing in Yiddish in a very convivial and friendly atmosphere. Yeah.
Did you run into any particular problems organizing this program?
Once this program started, everything went quite smooth, I have to say. Before the program has started, it was not that easy for us to find a place. We were looking for quite a while until we found the Institute for Eastern European Studies here in the Free University of Berlin. So the venue was a major issue. We actually started to promote the program and publish the names of the teachers, etc., before we were sure where is going to be the venue. I was quite stressed with that. I knew that at the end we could find a solution, but that was one of the challenges. Another challenge that we didn't manage to overcome, but hopefully next time we will, was finding accommodations for the students. A lot of students were struggling in finding accommodations. Some of them found cheaper, some of them had to pay more expensive, and I think that this is the first time that we do it in Berlin. We don't know the city that well. We don't know how to organize such a big event. We don't know all the details. This is something that we are also learning. Next time, I very much hope that we will be able to secure dormitories for students where people could live together. So not together, but next to each other. So they will also be able to meet each other more frequently and work together on their homeworks, etc. And they preferably live closer to the institute. So they would also have to spend less time on transportation, etc. So this is one thing that I would like to improve next time in terms of organization. But in general, I think that the organization here was quite smooth, I feel.
So you're talking about next time, so I imagine you're going to do it again next year.
So next year we are going to do it in Paris. Every 3 years we have a summer program in Paris. The last time was 2015, so next year it's going to be Paris again, 2018. I'm afraid that I think that in terms of energy, we will simply not be able to pull out two summer programs at the same year. Me personally, I will not be able to organize two programs in 1 year. So we plan to have a second Yiddish in Berlin program in 2019. We already have the general agreement of the institute here, the Eastern European Institute. I see absolutely no reason why we shouldn't just do it again here.
Is there anything else you'd like to add that we might have left out?
I think it's important to emphasize the fact that there is already Yiddish culture here in Berlin, but this Yiddish culture is very much concentrated on music and popular culture, and that this kind of program is not the beginning of Yiddish coming back to Berlin, because this is already happening, but the beginning of a certain intellectual aspect of this coming back. So I think it is important also to give full respect to the kind of activities that do take place here that should not be forgotten. I can just, for example, mention the festival Shtetl Neukölln that is going to take place, if I'm not mistaken, in December here in the city, where klezmer and Yiddish music in general is going to receive full attention. And this is something that has been going on for some time, and in a way they have the kind of cultural activists in that department have already paved the way for what we are trying to bring here, which is a more intellectual and literary interest in Yiddish. So yeah, acknowledging the fact that there is Yiddish culture in Berlin already taking place, and it just needs to expand to other areas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.